anyway, we're going to get going on this here. Like I said, this is going to be the final week of this four. It was supposed to be a 3-week. It turned into a 4-week series on praise. And the title of my sermon was Take a Stance of Praise. It should be our language of faith. When God makes a promise in His Word, the promises in His Word are meant for us. If you go through the epistles, you'll see a lot of the different verses that will say, in Him, in whom, in Christ, and it's talking about believers. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. You're born again. All that junk that you had, all that stuff that you used to do, all those things that, you know, weren't so good, old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Man, aren't you glad about that? And that is a reason to praise. There we go. So we're going to talk about this, but, you know, defining lifestyle, we're going to talk about it. And this week, I've been giving the definition of lifestyle for the last 3 weeks, but I want to make it personal this week. So I've written it out here to where it's going to be personal now. But we need to position ourselves for a lifestyle of praise, and it requires a consistent way of living, encompassing your habits, your choices, your values, and your behaviors. I'm going to finish the definition here in a second. But if we develop a lifestyle of praise, you'll find it in the way that you act. You'll find it in your value. You'll find it in your choices. Man, the choices I want to make choices that are pleasing to God, right? We all want to make choices that are pleasing to God. I want to praise Him in the choices that I make. I want to praise Him with the things I place value on. I want it to be a habit, something that I do consistently. But it goes on here to say, it requires something to be deeply ingrained. It's who you are. My thoughts, this is way out of, I got this in my notes later, but I'm going to say it now. I was traveling down on 14th in Richmond and had my hands on the steering wheel. And right here on my arm, I had 4 bumps on my arm about the size of a pea. Where did that come from? I'm sitting there in the car, I'm looking down at that, and I'm thinking, well, I don't want that. That has to go in Jesus' name. All of a sudden, I literally watched those 4 bumps go straight down. Haven't come back in my arm since. What did I do when that happened? Praise the Lord! Now, did I do it like that in the car? Maybe not quite like that. But it becomes who I am. When I see God move in my life like that, I see those bumps go down, it should be automatic, ingrained in me, that I say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't know what that was. I mean, doesn't matter. But it says here, it requires something to be deeply ingrained into every part of our lives. It suggests that it is something we regularly engage in. To have a lifestyle of praise should be something that we regularly engage in. It's a defining aspect of our daily routine. It is our identity. When we look at the Bible, and we have a better thing going than the people in the Old Testament. Oh, Moses, he parted the Red Sea, and all these people, you know, we got a better thing going because Jesus came. And what's it say about us with regards to Jesus? He said, I'm going to be with my dad. And he's saying that in John 14:12, the things that I did, you're going to do. And greater things you're going to do because I go to be to my father. And you go on down another verse, he repeats that again. If somebody repeats something, that means it's important. And so I believe he expects us to operate just like he did here on this earth. Well, what did Jesus do while he was here on this earth? He laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Raised the dead. Rick, you're being radical again. Well, let's be Bible. When you say you're being radical, that means that you're taking on the world's perspective. I want a Bible perspective. And the Bible says, this is who I am in Him. Whoo! Somebody shout. Amen. All right. I woke up this morning. Well, good. Really? You woke up? Well, I shared with them yesterday, I about fell off of the roof out here on the canopy. But anyway, I didn't. But I woke up this morning, and I'm laying there in bed, and I was thinking about that. We've been talking about this for 3 weeks now. And so I'm laying there in bed, I opened up my eyes, and I just started quoting every Bible verse I could think of. And as I quoted it, I praise you, God, because you said. I praise you, God, because you said. I praise you, God, because you said. And it just went on and on. I praise you, God, because you said. You don't have to know the whole Bible if you know one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise you, God, because I've accepted you as my Savior. I will not perish. I will have everlasting life. I will live in your kingdom. Praise you, Lord. If that's all you know, wake up, speak that verse out, and just thank God. Because you know what? When you start, we wake up in our morning like that. We're talking about this being a routine, a habit, our identity. When you wake up like that, it sets the tone for your day. If you wake up and say, "Ugh, it's Monday," what kind of day are you going to have? You can't wait to get out and back. But if you wake up with a biblical perspective, you wake up with an attitude of praise because of what the Word of God says about you, because you are in Him, changes everything. It'll change the way you think about getting ready in the morning. It'll change the way you view people throughout the day. It'll actually, I believe, it will actually change your physical day. The way you feel. Praise you, Lord, because you said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. My knee may have been aching earlier, but you said, I'm healed. That's my mentality. I'm going to praise you for that, and I'm going to walk out that door, and I'm not going to have pain in my knee. I got up out of my chair I've told you about my chair, haven't I? My recliner. You push the button, feet come up, push the button, the back goes down, push the button, the head comes up. I've told you about that chair. Now all I need it to do is go to the refrigerator for me. But anyway, I'll have to get another chair for that one. But anyway, I got out of that chair last night after these guys, I was here, I actually came and helped with us here a little bit. I was a little stiff yesterday when I got up out of that recliner. I'm like, what in the world? I'm not old. There you go. Here my wife, she said, that's right. Amen. You're not old. I'm glad I got somebody on my team. But I get up out of that chair and I'm like, and of course, she laughs at me. Sometimes I'll get out of the chair and I'm like, But not. I started going like that and I'm like, no, let's go. I can get down and around. I can go back up and down. See that? But I started. You start praising God. If you're going, and that's just something physical, but if you're going through it, I'm going to mention that a little bit later on too. Through it, in quotations. What's your it? When you're going through it, what did you do? What's your response when you're going through it? Is it, I'm going through it? Or is it, man, I might be going through it, but I'm riding with him, and he'll bring me out on the other side. I read Psalm 34, verse 3. Write this one down. I mean, highlight it in your Bible. Underline it, whatever you got to do. If you wake up in the morning and this is your voice, oh, magnify the Lord. And you, it says with me, but you might be the only me there laying in the bed. Oh, magnify the Lord. I will exalt his name. He's good. But if we wake up with that attitude, we wake up with that perspective. Instead of, there's so much we can focus on that would take us the other direction. Shigazira mentioned some things today. The economy, which, you know, I just now saw the price of eggs go down. They hadn't gone down yet. But, you know, the economy, the political things, wars in the Middle East, riots out in Los Angeles, riots in New York, riots, everything's going. If you get caught up in that, your whole perspective is like, what are we going to do? I'm scared. But if your perspective is, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Who? It changes things. It changes things. I want to get into 2 Chronicles because I've been trying to talk about it for the last 3 weeks. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. kind of where I want to get to by the end of this session here today, our gathering here today, where I want to get to is that when you walk out of this place, when you're faced with it, when you're going through it, let your first response be, I look, here's where my help comes from. It doesn't come from the mountains. It doesn't come from any physical thing here on the earth. Now, God may use something naturally to help bring me through, but that's not where my help comes from. When I worked for my previous job in corrections, I got a paycheck every 2 weeks. Matter of fact, I get a paycheck once a month from the Department of Corrections right now, and they pay me well, and I'm happy for it. But that's not where my help comes from financially. That's a source that God has used, and you know I was faithful to go to work every day. But it's a source that he used, but that's not where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If he made heaven and earth, then everything here is at my disposal. I call it in. People talk about, wow, that's kind of, you know, you don't just call money in. Why not? Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you're going through it and your it is money, whatever things I ask when I pray, believe that I receive and I'll have that. He'll provide. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. But if we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we talked about in the first few verses how King Jehoshaphat, he's got three armies coming against him, and he positioned himself, he and his people, to seek the Lord. And then in verses 5 through 9, Jehoshaphat starts reminding God of who he is. When I pray a lot of times, I'll say, God, you said. God, you said. I'll remind him of what he said. Do you think God's forgotten what he said? No, but it helps me. But he's reminding God of who he was when he was positioning himself. And then in verses 10 and 11, Jehoshaphat, he's recounting that he had these armies coming against him. And when they came out of Egypt, and you know, he could have attacked these people when they were coming out of Egypt, and God said, no, don't do it. And now here they are, these armies, they're coming against him. And he's like, what? We should have dealt with these guys earlier. But they didn't. And then in verses 12 and 13, the people of Israel themselves, they didn't have the strength to fight in and in and of themselves. They didn't have the strength to fight these two armies. And so all of Judah, not just Jehoshaphat, but all of Judah, positioned themselves to seek the Lord. We at LifePoint should be positioning ourselves to seek the Lord. When you're going through it, we talked about earlier, what's your position? Is your position facing the it, or is your position looking to the Lord? Something we got to think about. But they prayed, and now they waited on God to act. They positioned themselves, they spoke to God, and now it's like, okay, do your thing, God. And then we're going to look at chapter 20, verse 14. A couple things before that, though. But last couple weeks, I did speak with regards to seeking the Lord with regards to LifePoint Church. I used this example before. And the Lord spoke to me and said that we will be an outward-thinking church. One of the things that I mentioned when we first got here, we're going to develop relationships with one another, and then we're going to be an outward-thinking church, and we're going to develop relationships within our, not community, communities, IES, all around. And so I've seen that begin to happen. And so, but the thing that he spoke to me also was that there would be more people coming to LifePoint from this big to this big, and not just to get numbers in here, but get people in here to get them born again, to get them saved in order to reproduce that same thing. We want to take as many people to heaven with us as possible. And if nobody else in Mattoon or the surrounding community is going to do it, this place is going to do it. We're going to do it. We've already begun to see it. We were talking about it this morning, that we couldn't receive more people until we were ready to receive more people. Well, now we've got a lot more Sunday school teachers back there. We got a lot more things, we're getting a lot more things into position. Believe it or not, the outside of your church makes a difference. Your building, your parking lot, well, we've done some things out there. And even the parking lot's black now with yellow lines. That helps. Now, we're going to replace it here in a couple of years. But we're ready to receive people now, and we're already starting to see them come. And then we looked at Acts chapter 2, where Peter had just preached one of the best sermons on the day of Pentecost, and all the people were hanging out with him, and they're getting this teaching from the disciples, and you know, then they're fellowshipping with one another, they're breaking bread, they're eating, they're hanging out. And then as you go on down, it said signs and wonders were happening at the hands of the apostles. Well, guess what? If you're a believer, Mark 16, 15 through 18 belongs to you. It says that those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So that tells me that signs and wonders happen at the hands of the ministers that are sitting in these seats. If you look in Acts chapter 6, it talks about Stephen. He was a guy. He served tables. He waited tables. But it goes on to say that signs and wonders happened at the hands of Stephen. He was cleaning up. Anybody ever been a waitress or a waiter before? Anybody ever been a waitress or a waiter before and you walk away from the table and this looks like a bomb exploded? That's what Stephen was doing. He was cleaning up after people. But while he was cleaning up after people, he got opportunity to minister the gospel, and to see signs and wonders happen at his hands. So you guys and gals are those people as well. But he said that, so people are going to come in there. So then it goes on from the signs and wonders, and it says that because of all this stuff was happening, it says that there were people added to their church daily. If we're doing what the Word of God says to do, people will be drawn to that. They'll get born again. They'll come in here. They'll get discipled. And in turn, they'll go back out. You've just reproduced that, getting more people into the kingdom of heaven. I'd love to have every seat in this place filled, and we will. But it's not going to be for numbers' sake. It's going to be for reproduction's sake. So we talked about, what the Lord showed me, who stands with me on that? We got some people standing with me. Who will praise God with me for that promise? Hallelujah! Who will think about that during the week? Who will look for opportunity? Who will ask God, how can I be a part of that? And when He shows you, what's your response? An attitude of praise. Thank you, Father, that you've chosen me to be a part of the work of your kingdom. It should be a lifestyle. It should be something so ingrained in us that when an opportunity, we should praise. You know, we have a better promise and a stronger position in Christ than what they did back in the Old Testament. And we can look at, you guys, you'll hear this for the next 45 years. I guess that would make me 108. But the 145 years that I'm here, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And it says, and this is the confidence that you have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, anything that's in line with His word, nothing crazy, nothing nutty, but if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. So if we know those things, if we know that He hears us when we're asking things in line with His will, and if we know that He hears us, and if we know that we have those things that are in line with His will that we ask, what should our response be? Praise. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, you can't please God. There's nothing that you can do naturally to please Him. If it's not of faith, it's sin. So the only way to please God is faith. Well, where does faith come from? How do you get faith? Through the Word. You renew your mind to the Word of God. You crack the book, take the book and first go, and then, all right. Anybody ever have one of those big old Bibles that sat on your mom's coffee table? Ours was used to press prom flowers in. That's pretty much all it was used for. But renewing our mind to the Word, that's how faith comes. But it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. You don't believe that He exists. Because if you read this chapter in context, they were all believers. So what is it? You must believe He's what? You must believe that He is your healer. You must believe that He is your provider. Must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, turn their face toward Him. He's a rewarder. Praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 14. Now you got Jehoshaphat, he's turned to seek the Lord. You got all of Judah, they've turned to seek the Lord. Here's the result. They turned and they waited. And here's the result. Verse 14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men. So how did God respond? Hey, you, Jehaziel, here's what I want you to say. Came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. So they positioned themselves to seek the Lord, and they waited. And as they waited, God chose Jehaziel to use to speak the word forth. And it goes on here to say in verse 15, Jehaziel saying, he said, listen. Everybody tell you, now listen. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. Listen, Life Point Church. Listen, Pastor Rick and Carrie. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. I don't care what your it is. If you've turned to seek the Lord because you're going through it, don't be afraid. Because he, just like in this situation here, he heard them and he answered. He hears us when we're going through it and he will answer. He says, and this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. You ever feel like something just keeps piling on top of you? Just keeps beating you down. You don't see where your help is. You don't see a way out of this. He's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by that it or that mighty army. For the battle's not yours, but God's. The battle's not yours. It's God's. He's given us tools to work with, though. He's given us authority to work with, though. I mentioned last week, I'm going a little out of order probably here, guys, but in Luke chapter 10, 19, Jesus says that, believers here, that you have been given power or authority over serpents and scorpions. Or you've been given power and authority over it. And over all the works of the enemy. Over all the works of the devil. Anything that he tries, God says, you have the authority. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's saying that you got authority to bind the it. You have authority to speak to that it and say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Because of what you got backing you up, the authority that you got backing you up, you can speak to that thing in line with the Word of God, and it has to happen. And when it does, what's your response? Because it's ingrained in you. Praise. We go through stuff. The Bible says you will go through stuff. Believers will suffer persecution. But it says, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle's not yours, but it's God. Don't listen to people who say that what God has spoken to you is not possible. Don't listen to those people. If God spoke it, he said all things are possible to those who believe. Any believers in the room? We got a few. It says all things are possible. How much is all? All. Everything. So don't listen to those people. Don't listen to people when you take the word of God as fact and that it applies to you. There'll be people that say that you're radical. You're a Jesus freak. That's an old song. What will people say when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true? Yeah! Toby Mac. Anyway, I used to be shy. But don't listen to those people. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you feel. And it doesn't matter what people say. Whatever the Word of God says about you, because you're in Him, praise Him. It should be ingrained in us. Take His Word as true. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah! And that's it. That's all there is to it. Praise Him in the midst of your adversity. Praise Him when you're going through it. Position yourself to seek Him when you're going through it. Pastor, that doesn't make sense. To praise in the middle of it? To praise when I'm going through it? Man, when you start praising when you're going through it, and you get your focus off of Him, that, the it, and you get your focus on Him, it'll elevate you above the it. You'll start seeing things from His perspective. You've got the Word of God on the inside of you? Man, start shouting the Word of God. Start praising Him with the Word of God, His Word. And it will elevate you above any it that you're going through. Man, to see something from God's perspective, and when you're looking from His perspective, it looks, I can't make my fingers any smaller. It makes it that big. Knowing that, He'll bring us through the its. We have a mission statement here at LifePoint, and I've changed it recently a little bit. And the statement is, LifePoint Church, a place where you can experience how much God cares and provides. Well, how in the world will we experience how much God cares at LifePoint Church? By the people sitting in these seats here. The way you treat people. When I call people on the phone after they visited, one of the first things they say is they were made to feel welcome here. They felt welcome in this place. Carrie and I felt that way when we first came here. We didn't know Boo in this place. We didn't know anybody. I don't think we did. Did we know? I don't remember. Anyway, I don't think we knew anybody here. But we've been here a little over a year now, and it feels like we've known you guys for about 20 years. We developed the relationship. We cultivated the relationship here. We had people reach out to us. When we actually got to the church, if it hadn't been for Miss Darlene and Lonnie, they had to actually show us where stuff was. And we're still kind of in discovery mode. We're still discovering some things around here. I found out where the air filters were for the furnaces up in the attic place. And when I pulled those air filters out of there, there was about an eighth of an inch of dust on those things. So that told me they hadn't been changed in quite some time. But we got them changed now. They are changed. But it's LifePoint Church, a place where you can experience how much God cares and provides, a place you can embrace the truth of His Word. You're going to get the Word here, just so you know. They usually get about 10 scriptures that I'm going to go through on a Sunday morning. Most of the time, I probably don't go through all of them back there because I get stuck on some. Embrace the truth of His Word and know His plan for your life. Dedicated to strong relationships with one another and throughout our community. And if you were listening to what I just read right there, and I know you were, I just said a mouthful of things that should have instilled within you an excitement, a praise, put a praise in your mouth. Who wants to know God's will for their lives? I do. Who wants to know that God cares? Who wants to know that God will provide for you? Who wants strong relationships built with one another and within our community? I do. And but you know what? I can't make it. I could probably try to force some things, but man, I look to Him in order to make that thing come to life. I look to Him to elevate myself above whatever the situation is, because sometimes when I look at stuff, it looks like, man, that is a mess. I need to be elevated a little bit so I can see things the way He sees and approach things the way that He approaches things. In verse 16, we're back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 16. It says, tomorrow march out against them, these three armies. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight. What? You got three armies coming against you and He's saying you don't need to fight? I have somebody charging at me. I feel like I got to do something. But He's saying you don't need to fight. And you might think, well, that is nuts. Why would he say that to him? Well, let's look at Isaiah 55:8 real quick. 8 and 9. And it says there, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. I know more than you do, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. If he says that I don't have to fight, that the battle is his, that I just need to stand back and watch, and I got to say, you know more than I do. Go for it, God. And I let him do his thing. Verse 17, back in 2 Chronicles. Here he's telling him, Jehaziel is speaking. He says, take your position. What's your position? I have a position of faith in God, and I'm looking toward him, and I've got praise coming out of my mouth. That's my position. I'm going through it right now. And so I need to turn and look to where my help comes from. And when I'm looking to where my help's coming from, my voice is activated. Father, you are my help. I thank you that all my help comes from you. I praise you because you'll see me through this. I'm already delivered. I lift my voice to you. And it says, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He's with you. Whoo! That's something to praise about? He's with you? I hope so. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. He said it twice now. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Take your position in the good seats. Anybody ever sat in the box seats? They got the catered bar back there, the food, the hot dogs, and all that good stuff back there. It's air conditioned in the middle of summer when it's 155 degrees outside, and you're good in there. People are waiting on you hand and foot. Nothing that you have to worry. You don't have to think about, I have to go all the way down there and stand in line and get something to drink, the concession stand, and pay $45 for a cup of Coke. No, you don't have to do that. It's all right there. Just turn around. I don't know if you do that or not. Maybe I say, get up and get it yourself. But it's all at your disposal. But God was with Judah. And they won a mighty battle. And all they had to do was watch. So what's that saying to us? We have a better covenant than they do. All he's telling us is, you got my word. Exercise it and just stand back and let me do it. Let him perform. That's just it. The Bible talks about, speak to your mountain, be cast into the sea, don't doubt, all that type of stuff there. Told me to speak it. I'm not in charge of picking it up and casting it and bringing it back. He's in charge of all that. I speak it, he does it. In 1 John 4:4, in the Amplified, these are all things to praise God about. I'm trying to get us to a point, and I'm trying to encourage us here today that the things that I'm talking about, it should instill in you, oh, praise God. Man, I don't have to fight that battle. Praise the Lord. I've been struggling all this time, and I don't need to be. Praise the Lord. People have been coming against me, and all I have to do is trust God, look to him for my help. Praise the Lord. Just trying to get that ingrained in us here today. 1 John 4:4, it says, little children, you are of God, and you belong to him and have overcome them. Agents of the Antichrist, the agents of Satan. Because he who is in you, he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world, than anything that's in the world. If I'm in him, he's in me, I've got the greater one living on the inside of me. It doesn't matter what's coming against me. It doesn't matter what my it is. But because he's in me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he says, because of that, I overcome. I overcome every time. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ. Always leads me into triumph in Christ. If you're triumphing, you're winning. Any winners in the room? I hope so, because he just said right there, you're a winner. If you're in Christ, you're a winner. You can't lose. Whatever the it is that's coming against you, you can't lose. Praise the Lord! I can't lose. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and full of power. So when I'm facing my it, I take my stance with the faith stirred in my heart and the word of God in my mouth, and I speak it to the it. Whew, it's powerful. Word of God's powerful. It will work. The word works. Instead of focusing so much on our its, our problems, our situations, the things that we're going through, speak the word and praise God. Not that we don't go through stuff. Carrie's heard enough of my stuff over the years. She's been my sounding board over the years. Why did she just agree with me? I heard a yep. So I have done that. But you know what? I might do that, but then I turn, wait a second. My help comes from the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. James 4:7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Position yourself in front of God, the word of God. And how do you resist the devil? Mr. Devil, could you please leave, Mr. Sir? No. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have to leave. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Your word works. You resist the devil with the word of God coming out of your mouth. He can't. He's got to go. We just read here in Hebrews 4:12. It's powerful. The word is powerful. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18. Jehaziel has just spoken here. It says, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. You don't have to fight. The battle is the Lord, so I'm going to lay down. I got a picture of somebody laying down on the job yesterday. I won't say who. But it says, he bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same. We had two people laying down on the job yesterday. But it said that King Jehoshaphat, he laid down on the ground. Get that camera working over there. Laid on the ground. Boy, you're being nuts now. And it says, but here's the other thing. And all the people did the same. Huh. Okay. You guys are going to have to fight. I don't have to fight because I laid down. But anyway. But he bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Whoo! They positioned themselves to seek God. They waited on the answer. He answered. The king, leading by example, laid down on the ground, face to the ground, and all of Judah did the same, and they worshiped the Lord. Then the Levites, from the clans of Kohath and Korah. Now this you could do. Stood to praise the Lord. Whoo, what's the title of my sermon? Praise. It's your language. They stood to praise the Lord. They sought him. They got an answer. They told him they're not going to have to fight, told him not to be afraid, told him don't be discouraged. They bowed down, laid down on the floor, they worshiped God, they stood up, they praised God. That was their response to the answer that they got from God, was to praise and worship him. We have a whole book right here. This book was written to you. It was dedicated to you. If you look in the front of your book, it says dedicated to the disciple Jesus loved, Rick Medeiros. That's what mine says. Dedicated to you. That we can take that promise of that word, stand there, praise him. We can worship him. It should be something that's ingrained in us. It should be a habit. It should be part of our values. It should be our identity that we praise God because he's made so many promises to us through his word to see us through every single time. Why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you and he always leads you into triumph. You can't lose if you turn to him. If you focus on the problem and magnify the problem, praise the problem, then you'll get the results of your problem. Okay. Stood to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Whoo! So that tells you right there, when you praise, don't be quiet. It's okay to lift your voice. Praise him with a very loud shout. There's victory in your shout. Sometimes you're going through it and you don't feel like shouting. That's the time when you should shout. That's the time when you should praise. When you don't want to, do it anyway because there's victory in it. There's freedom in your shout, your praise. It's your language. There's confidence in your shout, your language of faith. It's fun to be loud. Oh, I wanted to be loud right there. It's fun to be loud. Verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out to the Israel at Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." Verse 22. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. The moment they started to praise and worship, God went into action. And these armies started fighting against themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Whew. They didn't do anything. Praise and worship, heart filled with faith, praise and worship. God took care of it. It was done. There's nothing different today. We have a better covenant today. We lift our voices. We stir the faith that's on the inside of us. Lift our voices. Speak the word of God. Watch him go to work. And your it disappears. I had an example here. I'm going to shut this down here in about 3 minutes. I'm going to land this plane in about 3 minutes here. But I believe the power of God is kind of like electricity. Now, I said that I would never talk about electricity unless I talked to Dave Bowen first. But I'm going to talk about electricity. And if I'm wrong, I'll get corrected later on. But I believe the power of God is like electricity. You can't see it, but it's still there. If you get a hold of it, you sure can feel it. And that's the way the power of God is. You can't always see it. But when it touches your life and changes your circumstances, you know it. When we begin to praise, we will begin to see and feel the power of God moving on our behalf. Verse 25 in 2 Chronicles said, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it all. I guess I want to conclude here this morning, hoping that I got the point across, which I believe that I did. Because when the Holy Spirit is speaking, when he's moving, I believe the point gets across. That no matter what our it is that we're going through, because you're going through some, you may be going through some stuff here this morning. When we turn to position ourselves to seek the Lord in line with his word, He hears us. And he's ready to answer. And he will answer. And when he does answer, our immediate response should be, praise you, Lord Jesus. Even if we can't see it right away, even if we don't feel it right away, praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise him in the middle of it. Praise him in the middle of the storm. Because he made you a promise. And God is not a man that he should lie. He's going to come through. Just bow our heads real quick. A lot of the stuff that I'm talking about here today, if you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you're not saved, if you've not accepted him as your Savior and you want to live your life for him, it doesn't make sense. But the moment that you ask Jesus to become the Lord of your life, to be your Savior, all of a sudden things start making sense. All of a sudden you start realizing that you just accepted a God into your life that cares about you, that wants to see you through every situation. Your God does not want to see you struggle, and he's made a way out for you. But until that happens, until you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's tough. A lot of times you'll go through the it, and the it will overtake you. So before we leave this service here this morning, and I don't like to end a service without giving each and every person in this building here, I know most of you, but I don't know some of you, the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior, to receive him as Savior, knowing that when you leave this earth, you'll spend eternity with him in heaven, but also knowing that while you're on this earth, you'll live a life of freedom, you'll live a life of peace, a life of victory, a life of sharing the same goodness that you received with other people. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, asked him into your heart. At this moment here, I just want you to raise your hand. And we'll take a few minutes here. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. And I want to pray with you to receive him as your Savior so that you can have that assurance of everything he says about you in his word. If there's anybody in this place that you are born again, you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but man, you just don't, it's not in your identity yet that you want to praise him throughout every aspect of your day. That you want him to be your first thought in the morning. That this whole idea of praise becomes who you are. But if you're not walking that path right now and you want to get back on that path, get back on the major highway, want to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning too. We'll take just a couple of seconds here. And I want to pray with you so that you get back on track, serving him with your whole heart. Hallelujah. I see that hand. One last thing. I believe when the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, His Holy Spirit is, I believe His Holy Spirit is with us. When He says that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us, I believe He's been here this morning revealing truth to us. He's always in this place, ready to make His presence known, to manifest His presence in this place.